Hi, it's Simone here for Fred Film Radio, the Festival Insider at Auditorium Parco della Musica in Rome for the 10th edition of Rome Film Festival. I'm here with Steven Dunn, the director of Closet Monster, presented in the Alice en la Città section this year. Hello, Steven.
Hey, how are you? Thanks for having me.
Very fine, and thank you for being here with us. Steven, please tell us in a very, very quickly what the film is about and which story it tells.
Sure. Closet Monster is a coming-of-age film about a young teenager in Newfoundland, which is an island off the coast of Canada, who is coming to terms with his sexuality. He's trying to differentiate himself from his family and is haunted by memories of like a turbulent childhood. And is now coming to terms with his identity as a teenager, all while talking and processing his issues with his talking hamster, played by Isabella Rossellini.
How did you get to talk about this issue in the film?
Well, it's a very personal film for me, Closet Monster. It's a coming-of-age story about a young man coming to terms with his sexuality, trying to differentiate himself from his family, while talking to his pet hamster, who is voiced by Isabella Rossellini, who represents like his internal dialogue. It's the film I kind of just had to make. I didn't really think too much about it. It came very naturally. Like it's a personal film.
So how long did it take you to develop the scenario, the screenplay, and when did you start working? Because you're very young, people cannot see you, the listener of Fred Film Radio, the festival, so I cannot see you, but you're very young. So I was wondering how many years ago did you start developing the screenplay?
Well, we were very lucky. I wrote it 2 years ago. I started writing it, and then brought it to the producers, who are Rhombus Media, and within 8 months or a year, we were shooting the movie, which is a very quick process for Canada. Like, that usually doesn't happen. Unfortunately, I hope that it can more, but and then we shot it over 5 weeks in Newfoundland, which is my hometown and island off the east coast of Canada. And it's a very, like, Irish space. But, it happened very quickly. I had a lot of support. I just graduated from film school and then immediately sort of jumped into making my first feature. I was very fortunate to have the resources and the friends and around me to be able to help make it possible.
Who are the figures of the production chain, let's say, of the film? Who are the figures that mostly helped you at the beginning of the development of the film?
Well, it really begins with the relationship between the producer and the director, or the writer in that case. I'm also the writer of the film. And so we would collaborate with myself and Kevin Crixt and Fraser Ash and Neve Fitchman. We would all sort of develop the script together, and then once we go into, well, as we're getting ready to go into production, then we bring in our cinematographer Bobby Shore and a production designer Lisa Soper, and then we start collaborating and building the world, building the sets, talking about the visual style, referencing other films, and then casting and all of these things kind of come into place, like one after another.
Okay. A question about your work as a director on the set. How was it as a young man to work with young actors that mostly are the protagonists of the film?
Yeah, well, we were all pretty much the same age. Like, everyone on the production, the whole crew was in their, like, between their early 20s and their early 30s. Like, that was kind of, which is unusual, like, to be on a set of that age. So the vibe was really cool, really young, just like relaxed. Like, some of the people were very experienced, like our cinematographer and our production designer, but they're also young and also very, like, supportive of me, and I felt like very, like, comfortable working with everyone on this production. We and like our cast as well, they're all you know, in their late teens, early 20s, and then the parents as well. But so it just, it had a, the whole production had a very relaxed atmosphere and vibe that was challenging that us as well to, you know, make a great movie, but also we really became friends throughout the production.
What can you tell us about music? Because the film has a one very, very beautiful soundtrack, very interesting, related to the story. So how did you work on soundtracks?
Well, thank you. I love the music in the film as well, and we wanted to create a modern electronic soundscape. And I was very lucky to be able to work with Maya Potsepsky, as well as Todor Kobokov. But Maya is in a very well-known Canadian electronic band called Ostra, and she created the score as well as. You know, we also used Ostra tracks in the film as well, but we wanted to create something that was lively, energetic, sexy, and had a vibe to it that, that was true to, you know, the what, you know, what a young person would listen to, while also being ambient and distant and tonal. So there's also in mixing with the electronic music, there are there's a lot of metallic sounds, like metal sounds in the score, and that this comes from there's a very central violent hate crime that happens in early on in the film where a young man is assaulted with a metal rod, and so I wanted to use the sound of metal, stretching it, turning it backwards inside out, and altering it and distorting it in a way that allows the metallic sounds to be a part of the score of the film in a way that kind of haunts us, the way that this, the memory of this crime haunts Oscar throughout the movie.
It was very strong to hear about this metallic sounds, because it really was complementary to the narration of the story. So the last question, the hardest one, talking about the psychoanalytical level of the film, let's say, because we see a sort of personal story of the personality of the protagonist that develops from the childhood, which is in the first part of the film, then becomes an adolescent and teenager. So we can see a sort of personal psychoanalytic life of this character that has very strong points, like the scene of the in which he throws the nails, and also this symbolic presence of the metallic bar. So please tell us something about what did you want to say and analyze with into this level of appreciation of the film.
Yeah, I mean there's a lot of magic realist elements in the film. There's something after witnessing this crime as a child. He witnesses a gay hate crime and is then as a teenager kind of haunted by that memory of violence and its association to his own sexuality. He has something growing inside of his stomach, an ulcer that's growing inside of him and getting worse whenever he is tempted by his own sexuality. And I don't want to give too much away, but it gets pretty intense, and there's elements of body horror in the movie but I won't say anything about that. But he also throws up nuts and bolts and nails as a result of this. But it all, again, echoing this use of metal, this memories of this crime and this weapon that was used against a gay man. It's all about a representation of internalized homophobia for me, all throughout this like visual metaphor of something growing, something metal, something dark growing inside of his stomach.
Okay, Steven, thank you very much for your time and your availability for this interview. Here is Simone from Rome Film Festival for Closet Monster, the film directed by Steven Dunn, who was with us. Thank you very much for your attention and goodbye.
Fred Film Radio.
24/7 on fred.fm and smartphone apps.